Chapter 37. Share it with me? Apostrophe apostrophe, may you. Can you ask it? Dot dot it for me, I shall have no pleasure, to be begrudged or otherwise. The only pleasure I have is, as you well know, in you. When you are with me, I am happy. When you are away, I take no pleasure in anything. Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't deserve it. I have no right to disturb you so, apostrophe she said, very gently. But I have given you some pleasure, have I not? A little more pleasure than pain, perhaps? Apostrophe, you have, and yet. Dot dot dot, but I don't accuse you, dearest. Yes, you have given me pleasure. One truly pleasant time was when we stood together in the summer house on the evening of the garden party, and you said you liked me to love you. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, it was a pleasant time, apostrophe she returned thoughtfully. How the rain came down, and formed a gauze between us and the dancers, did it not? And how afraid we were at least I was lest anybody should discover us there, and how quickly I ran in after the rain was over. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, said Somerset, I remember it. But no harm came of it to you. Dot 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 and perhaps no good will come of it to me. Apostrophe, do not be premature in your conclusions, sir, apostrophe she said archly. If you really do feel for me only half what you say, we shall you will make good come of it in some way or other. Apostrophe apostrophe, dear Paula now I believe you, and can bear anything. Apostrophe apostrophe, then we will say no more. Because, as you recollect, we agreed not to go too far. No expostulations, for we are going to be practical young people. Besides, I won't listen, if you utter them. I simply echo your words, and say I too, believe you. Now I must go. Have faith in me, and don't magnify trifles light as air. Apostrophe apostrophe, I think I understand you. And if I do, it will make a great difference in my conduct. You will have no cause to complain. Apostrophe apostrophe, then you must not understand me, so much as to make much difference. For your conduct as my architect is perfect. But I must not linger longer, though I wish you to know this news from my very own lips. Apostrophe apostrophe, bless you for it. When do you leave? Apostrophe, the day after tomorrow. Apostrophe apostrophe, so early? Does your uncle guess anything? Do you wish him to be told just yet? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, to the first, no, to the second. Apostrophe apostrophe, I may write to you? Apostrophe apostrophe, on business, yes. It will be necessary. Apostrophe, how can you speak so at a time of parting? Apostrophe apostrophe, now, George you see I say George, and not Mr. Somerset, and you may draw your own inference don't, be so morbid in your approaches. I have informed you, that you may write, or still better, telegraph, since the wire is so handy on business. Well, of course, it is for you to judge, whether you will add postscripts of another sort. There, you make me say more than a woman ought, because you are so obtuse and literal. Good afternoon, goodbye. This will be my address. Apostrophe, she handed him a slip of paper, and flitted away. Though he saw her again after this, it was during the bustle of preparation, when there was always a third person present, usually in the shape of that breathing refrigerator, her uncle. Hence the few words that passed between them were of the most formal description, and chiefly concerned the restoration of the castle, and a church at Nice designed by him, which he wanted her to inspect. They were to leave by an early afternoon train, and Somerset was invited to lunch on that day. The morning was occupied by a long business consultation in the studio with Mr. Power and Mrs. Goodman on what rooms were to be left locked up, what left in charge of the servants, and what thrown open to the builders and workmen under the surveillance of Somerset. At present the work consisted mostly of repairs to existing rooms, so as to render those habitable which had long been used only as stores for lumber. Paula did not appear during this discussion, but when they were all seated in the dining hall she came in dressed for the journey, and, to outward appearance, with blithe anticipation at its prospect blooming from every feature. Next to her came Charlotte de Stancy, still with some of the pallor of an invalid, but wonderfully brightened up, as Somerset thought, by the prospect of a visit to a delightful shore. It might have been this, and it might have been that Somerset's presence had a share in the change. It was in the hall, when they were in the bustle of leave-taking, that there occurred the only opportunity for the two or three private words with Paula to which his star treated him on that last day. His took the hasty form of, "You will write soon?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, telegraphing will be quicker, apostrophe, she answered in the same low tone, and whispering be true to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, turned away. How unreasonable he was. In addition to those words, warm as they were, he would have preferred a little paleness of cheek, or trembling of lip, instead of the bloom and the beauty which sat upon her undisturbed maidenhood, to tell him that in some slight way she suffered at his loss. Immediately after this, they went to the carriages waiting at the door. Somerset, who had in a measure taken charge of the castle, accompanied them and saw them off, much as if they were his visitors. She stepped in, a general adieu was spoken, and she was gone. While the carriages rolled away, he ascended to the top of the tower, where he saw them lessen to spots on the road, and turn the corner out of sight. The chances of a rival seemed to grow in proportion as Paula receded from his side, but he could not have answered why. He had bidden her, and her relatives adieu on her own doorstep, like a privileged friend of the family, while de Stancy had scarcely seen her since the play night. That the silence into which the captain appeared to have sunk was the placidity of conscious power, was scarcely probable, yet that adventitious aids existed for de Stancy he could not deny. The link formed by Charlotte between de Stancy and Paula, much as he liked the ingenuous girl, was one that he could have wished away. It constituted a bridge of access to Paula's inner life and feelings which nothing could rival, except that one fact which, as he firmly believed, did actually rival it, giving him faith and hope, his own primary occupation of Paula's heart. Moreover, Mrs. Goodman would be an influence favorable to himself, and his cause during the journey, though, to be sure, to set against her there was the phlegmatic and obstinate Abner Power, in whom, apprised by those subtle media of intelligence which lovers possess, he fancied he saw no friend. Somerset remained but a short time at the castle that day. The light of its chambers had fled, the gross grandeur of the dictatorial towers oppressed him, and the studio was hateful. He remembered a promise made long ago to Mr. Woodwell of calling upon him some afternoon, and a visit which had not much attractiveness in it at other times recommended itself now, through being the one possible way open to him of hearing Paula named and her doings talked of. Hence in walking back to Markton, instead of going up the high street, he turned aside into the unfrequented footway that led to the minister's cottage. Mr. Woodwell was not indoors at the moment of his call, and Somerset lingered at the doorway and cast his eyes around. It was a house which typified the drearier tenets of its occupier with great exactness. It stood upon its spot of earth without any natural union with it. No mosses disguised the stiff straight line where wall met earth. Not a creeper softened the aspect of the bare front. The garden walk was strewn with loose clinkers from the neighboring foundry, which rolled under the pedestrian's foot and jolted his soul out of him before he reached the porchless door. But all was clean and clear and dry. Whether Mr. Woodwell was personally responsible for this condition of things there was not time to closely consider, for Somerset perceived the minister coming up the walk towards him. Mr. Woodwell welcomed him heartily, and yet with the mien of a man whose mind has scarcely dismissed some scene which has preceded the one that confronts him. What that scene was soon transpired. "I have had a busy afternoon," apostrophe said the minister, as they walked indoors, "or rather an exciting afternoon. Your client at Stancy Castle, whose uncle, as I imagine you know, has so unexpectedly returned, has left with him today for the south of France, and I wish to ask her before her departure some questions as to how a charity organized by her father was to be administered in her absence. But I have been very unfortunate. She could not find time to see me at her own house, and I awaited her at the station, all to no purpose, owing to the presence of her friends. Well, I must see if a letter will find her. Somerset asked if anybody of the neighborhood was there to see them off. Yes, that was the trouble of it. Captain Destancy was there, and quite monopolized her. I don't know what is coming to, and perhaps I have no business to inquire, since she is scarcely a member of our church now. Who could have anticipated the daughter of my old friend John Power developing into the ordinary gay woman of the world as he has done? Who could have expected her to associate with people who show contempt for their maker's intentions by flippantly assuming other characters than those in which he created them? You mistake her, murmured Somerset, in a voice which he vainly endeavored to attune to philosophy. Miss Power has some very rare and beautiful qualities in her nature, though I confess I tremble fear lest the Destancy influence should be too strong. Sir, it is already. Do you remember my telling you that I thought the force of her surroundings would obscure the pure daylight of her spirit, as a monkish window of colored images attenuates the rays of God's sun? I do not wish to indulge in rash surmises, but her oscillation from her family creed of Calvinistic truth towards the traditions of the Destancies has been so decided, though so gradual, that well, I may be wrong. Said the young man sharply. I sometimes think she will take to her as husband the present representative of that impoverished line Captain Destancy, which she may easily do, if she chooses, as his behavior today showed. He was probably there on account of his sister, said Somerset, trying to escape the mental picture of farewell gallantries bestowed on Paula. It was hinted at in the papers the other day. And it was flatly contradicted. Yes. Well, we shall see in the Lord's good time. I can do no more for her. And now, Mr. Somerset, pray take a cup of tea. The revelations of the minister depressed Somerset a little, and he did not stay long. As he went to the door, Woodwell said, there is a worthy man, the deacon of our chapel, Mr. Havill, who would like to be friendly with you. Poor man, since the death of his wife he seems to have something on his mind, some trouble which my words will not reach. If ever you are passing his door, please give him a look in. He fears that calling on you might be an intrusion. Somerset did not clearly promise, and went his way. The minister's allusion to the announcement of the marriage reminded Somerset that he had expressed a wish to know how the paragraph came to be inserted. The wish had been carelessly spoken, but he went to the newspaper office to make inquiries on the point. The reply was unexpected. The reporter informed his questioner that in returning from the theatricals, at which he was present, he shared a fly with a gentleman who assured him that such an alliance was certain, so obviously did it recommend itself to all concerned, as a means of strengthening both families. The gentleman's knowledge of the Powers was so precise that the reporter did not hesitate to accept his assertion. He was a man who had seen a great deal of the world, and his face was noticeable for the seams and scars on it. Somerset recognized Paula's uncle in the portrait. Hostilities, then, were beginning. The paragraph had been meant as the first slap. Taking her abroad was the second. Book the fourth. Somerset, Darren Destancy. There was no part of Paula's journey in which Somerset did not think of her. He imagined her in the hotel at Havre, in her brief rest at Paris. Her drive past the Place de la Bastille to the Boulevard Mazas, to take the train for Lyons, her tedious progress through the dark of a winter night till she crossed the isothermal line which told of the beginning of a southern atmosphere, and onwards to the ancient blue sea. Thus, between the hours devoted to architecture, he passed the next 3 days. One morning he set himself, by the help of John, to practice on the telegraph instrument, expecting a message. But though he watched the machine at every opportunity, or kept some other person on the alert in its neighborhood, no message arrived to gratify him till after the lapse of nearly a fortnight. Then she spoke from her new habitation 900 miles away, in these meager words: "Are settled at the address given. Can now attend to any inquiry about the building." The pointed implication, that she could attend to inquiries about nothing else, breathed of the veritable Paula so distinctly, that he could forgive its sauciness. His reply was soon dispatched. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.